Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I can't believe you're the age you are and you've not seen giraffes run on a TV show. What?
And the bulldog.
Long-range toddy. How would you make that up?
Someone did.
On WGR.
Sorry, I got a spit take on a mic over here.
Someone did. It's great.
Sports Radio 550.
The Eagles, who the Bills play next, reportedly are cutting one of their starting cornerbacks from last night, Orlando Scandrick. Just saw that. Philly's given up a ton of points. Last night they looked terrible. I mean, this is not one of the games that we're all just like assuming the Bills will win.
Right.
Philadelphia is not one of those games, but I don't know.
They're not in good form right now.
No.
It doesn't seem at all. So there's infighting, and the coach said they were gonna win the game yesterday, and I don't know if any players have directly criticized him for saying that. But yeah, they seem kind of they could. You said it when we were talking to Mike Hyde. They just couldn't block Dallas yesterday at all. I mean, it was just Quinn coming around the edge, and is it DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side? Like, they were just wreaking havoc last night.
So 5-1 now. How's everybody doing? It was not a blowout yesterday, but does that matter? Is that a problem? It might have been a problem at halftime as the Bills were leaving the field, as they were getting booed by fans who, I guess, assumed it was going to be a lot easier. I mean, it was interesting. Ryan Fitzpatrick has a quality, you know? He's good enough to make it interesting and maybe not good enough to beat you, you know, most of the time. So it's 5-1 now, and that one's down. It's another conference win, another division win, and then it's the Eagles and then the Redskins. And when is it going to be this week or not? When will the Bills, you know, start to get tested by better teams? I mean, everybody's better than the Dolphins, I guess. I'm fine. I'm not of any mind to be critical of them for yesterday's game not being an easier win. Because, and Micah Hyde just said it when he was on with us last hour, it's totally how I feel. It's just not that kind of league, usually. The Dolphins, if you were with us last week and maybe engaged with us for the conversation about Miami, like, they were who was different. The Dolphins were supposed to be, no, this is the worst team ever.
Right.
So you can be, you know, a modestly good Buffalo team and be favored by 17 points. But, you know, still, what's the overriding sort of mantra in the league is
that, any given Sunday is the thing, right?
So how good are you if you beat a team like that by a lot, like, consistently? This is one game. Maybe the next time they'd play, the Bills would be able to do that. But it doesn't bother me at all. 803-0550 is our number.
No, it's funny, you know, so much of what we talk about is looking at the schedule, looking back at it. How was that team when I beat them? I lost to New England, but I was competitive, so that's good. Oh, Cincinnati's bad, so I struggled to beat them. Like, every week you're drawing something from it that is really, you know, do whatever you want with it. It in a certain way, it's just sort of passing the time. Like, we're into the team. We want to have a good year. We want the players to be good. We want some notoriety. You know, the fan base wants, you know, the fan base is famous. For a while, the fan base was more famous than the team. Maybe they still are. So I think a lot of us maybe that go back a long time would like to see that change. Nothing against the fans, but, you know, the team should be the thing that gets notoriety and celebrated, more so than the fans even. So, you know, you just sort of ride the ride, right? But ultimately, you know, there's you never know what, you know. Philadelphia looked terrible last week. I still am inclined to think about them winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles 2 years ago more than what they looked like against Dallas last night. And I don't know which one of those is right, but I respect them. I respect the coach. I respect the quarterback. You know, they didn't have Jason Peters last night. I don't know that he's out long term, but that was a problem for them. He's one of the best that's ever played left tackle in the league's history, my opinion.
Maybe they should have kept Nick Foles.
Maybe. I don't know. But either way, I'm respecting them. But, you know, trying to figure it out, like, that's the fun of it. You know, like, Washington's terrible. Cleveland doesn't look good. I can, 8-2, 8-3, 9-2, like, whatever. Just look at the schedule and have your fun with it. But in the end, I don't ever expect my team to just walk over a team in the NFL. You know, and that's not just because I watch the Bills. It's just that's the league.
We'll see how they do in Miami in a month, too. Get another chance to blow them out, I guess. All right, to the phones. Again, 803-0550. Don is next. Hello, Don.
Yeah, it's John.
John, sorry.
It's okay, no problem. Hey, you know what? I these players taking the heart about getting booed, okay? You know, it's not like they played Philadelphia yet or one of the middle-of-the-road teams. They played a team like Miami that was admittedly tanking, the management was anyway, not the players. But, I mean, you basically, after a bye week, you play to the level of the Miami Dolphins. You know, they weren't booing particular players. They were booing the team in general, including the coaching. It was a terribly, terribly.
Yeah, that's obvious.
And, you know, it's something to personally take to heart. You know, I kind of, you know, I'm not, everybody knows here likes Patriots, but I'm impressed with the way Brady acted after he won a game with only getting 150 yards. My plane ride on the way home, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't sleep all night. That's the attitude the players should have. All right? I mean, you need to take these games to heart. And if you're not, you got to ask yourself.
Is there some evidence that they're not? Like, what? Where does this point come from?
Yeah, I think the evidence is that you're complaining about the fans booing you.
Who was doing that?
Wasn't Michael Hyde or whoever you had for a get?
No, I don't think he was complaining. I didn't hear it as complaining.
All right, well, maybe I misunderstood it. I thought they were saying to the fans that they were hurt to the fact that the players were, that the fans were booing.
Well, maybe, but I don't feel like there's really a point here that should be considered a problem or anything. I mean, I look at it like this. I was not expecting that. I was taken aback by that. I mean, I just don't – I feel like the Bills have earned a lot of respect – and that the fans are enjoying the season and maybe even are surprised by it. And so, like, if you really – we're saying the same things over and over, and Micah Hyde did too. I think if you know the league, that shouldn't have been a big deal. And it was half the game, and the Bills eventually win by double digits. Like, it just should not have been shocking. Now, you're not – people who are booing at sports are not rational or not calculating all of the factors. They're just drunk probably – and booing because, you know, that's what they do. It's not like a smart thing. It's just a reaction. It's visceral. I mean, I just wouldn't – I would caution, to say the least, I would caution any fan from, like, assuming that the players were, like, necessarily bothered or affected by it and pointing to Tom Brady examples of how not to be. Like, I just – whoa. Slow down.
Yeah. It never surprises me anymore. I think, and not just in Buffalo. You know, I watch a lot of hockey, and like very good teams that win the cup get, you know, 3, 4, 5 games into their season and have a bad second period, and they get booed. Like, the fans are just not – it is immediate, and it is visceral, and it is not like, oh, I know how the league works. Let me measure my response.
Right.
It's just – it's immediate. The Bills' possession before the half ended was pathetic. You know, you're watching the game. Okay, I got the ball back. 2-minute drill time. Let's go. You know, let's straighten this out. This is ridiculous. And they end up in 3rd and 16, or 3rd and 19 at their 16-yard line with a give-up handoff to Devin Singletary. It, like, what is happening here? Why is this supposed to be like this? That's it. Like, does the team deserve better? I don't know. Maybe, probably, but it never surprises me. Fans are just ready to go in an instant over anything. anymore. So
it's probably this, and I think you did hear this from Micah Hyde, and I would have expected to. The fan base is passionate, and like that's what passionate, how it manifests. You know,
right.
if the fans didn't care, then they wouldn't get booed because we don't care, and we're also not going to pack Tennessee Stadium. Like
right.
It's just
right.
Together. I think that's sort of
yes.
You have one with the other. All right. Well, I mean, I'm just here to say I wouldn't judge the players negatively for any of it, their reaction to it. I don't even know really mostly what it was. Colin is next. Hello, Colin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a funny story. I've got a buddy of mine who's a Patriots fan, and I texted him after the Bills game. We text on Sundays a lot, and I said, oh, yeah, Bills had an ugly win today. And he said, well, he texted back, he said, well, they won. And I said, yeah, but it was ugly. And he texted me back and he goes, what are you, a Patriots fan? And he's like, you're a Bills fan. You're judging the quality of the wins. He's like, you're a Bills fan. You should take the wins as they come. He's like, how many years has it been that you're now all of a sudden complaining about the quality of the win?
He's right.
And he said it. Yeah. And it kind of hit me like, absolutely. He's 100% right. And then his second point was, you know, if you and the Bills fans are going to be in this position where you're now judging the quality of the wins, he's like, the fan base ought to realize that they've kind of crossed the Rubicon into this new level, which is impressive.
Right.
And the organization deserves a lot of credit. If we're in a position where we're judging the quality of the 5-1, we've really made it in a way, was his
right.
point. And it wasn't until a Patriots fan said that to me that I thought, you know what? He's right.
Yeah,
he's right.
I agree with that sentiment. Mostly, I just think we're in a hurry to get there. Like that is life as a good team, as a fan of a good team, and it takes some adjusting, and there will be growing pains. Maybe the booing yesterday is a part of it, or being upset about this win and fans not understanding that is a part of that. Because if you're good and like everybody knows it, then you want to behave like. I expect to beat Miami easily, not be challenged, and need a fluky onside kick recovery touchdown to get a 10-point win over them. But it takes a little while to get there, and the Bills have not demonstrated yet to be that team. It is still only October, and they have played who they've played. So they don't have that resume yet. But eventually, like that's probably how New England fans do it. They're probably mad that they only beat the Bills 16-10 when they were here. Because, like, you're supposed to kill the Bills. What are we doing here? I'm worried. We need more receivers. We can only score 16 points against Buffalo.
But that is the wrong way to do it. Yeah, there is a right and wrong here on this one. That is the wrong way. The right way to do it is to understand that these games are all separate and that it's all closed. Really, to describe it, to defend it, you end up using a lot of cliches, or you can. Maybe if you're good at it, you don't need to, but I'm not that good at it. It is, you do sound like, or I would sound like a coach would sound, or a player would sound about this. And again, I'll refer to Hyde. You know, he's like, if you're in the league, you know that this is how it works. And I was glad to hear him say, you don't necessarily have to be in the league to know it, but if you're in the league, you know it. And like, yeah, I mean, I think so too. I spend a lot of time thinking about point spreads. And when you do that, I mean, games like tonight where the Jets are a 10-point underdog, like I like the Jets tonight. I feel like that should be a close game. But it's 10, and it's New England. Still, I think it should be a close game. Like, it's just, there have been some big numbers in the league this year, and it is a reason why you might think about this. Like, okay, well, how far apart are these teams, really? Buffalo and Miami was a good example of that. Yeah, it's just like, nothing that happened yesterday is going to stick with me in the story of this season. The Dolphins are so bad that those should be two wins. One of them is down. The other one is still to come, the other game. And, like, that's it. And they're a blip on this season. This season, we realize a little bit more each week. This season is either going to come down to a playoff game on the road, probably against someone, you know, that you can see yourself beating, but will probably be favored against you, a Baltimore, a Kansas City, a Houston, an Indianapolis, one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Or it's going to be a meltdown. or this team is just going to fall apart
and
miss the playoffs from great odds.
And there's no way that you could convince me that the meltdown started with a 10-point win over Miami.
No, right. It hasn't started if it's going to happen.
If it's going to happen.
That's right. It's not underway.
Right. I don't think it is. If you really remove what you thought was going to happen in the game from the equation and just look at the game, I don't think, we started today, people are talking about Josh Allen, you know? I don't know, the offense gave you pretty much what the offense gives you every week in this game. He wasn't good the whole game. He was really hot for a stretch. As it turned out, it was the fourth quarter again, where he completed, 10 of 11 passes and 2 touchdowns, and they needed every bit of that, and he gave it to them. Frank Gore had some moments. John Brown had some moments, but they did not roll up big numbers, and they did not thus blow out Miami because the defense had the rare off day. It's nice that they had an off day, and it wasn't against New Orleans like it was 2 years ago or against the Chargers that same season where you just got annihilated by that team, both of those teams. They had a tough day. They gave up almost 400 yards to Miami, but you were still able to win because, you were playing Miami, I suppose. But the defense was the thing that – if something let you down yesterday, it's the thing I think you have reason to have the most faith in, and that's this defense being excellent.
Philadelphia next. What's yesterday worth? 803-0550. We'll get back to your calls after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WG.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Their defense is good. They have been all year, but you know, just like any other team, they're not unbeatable. So we just got to go out there, find the weakness in the defense, and keep working it. So our whole team's super excited to play too.
Sam Darnold, the Jets host the Patriots tonight. Monday Night Football. New England is a 10-point favorite. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Right back to your calls. We have Brian next on WGR. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. I got kind of a late start to your show today, but I did get to listen to about the first 30 minutes here recently, and I wanted to respond to what you guys were talking about, why fans are concerned about Allen. I'm one of them. I think the golden rule in sports for me is then you better win when you have the chance, because it's just not a guarantee that you're just going to get back with the same team and just keep going. So with that said, the playoff drought is 1995 is our last win. You know, what I wonder is, can you beat good teams with Allen playing like this? If he doesn't get much better than 200 yards and a touchdown and a half combined throwing and rushing, which is kind of his average, regardless of the team is good or bad, I just wonder if the convention of we'll just park our defense out there and we'll keep everyone to 17 points and fewer and we'll muster up about 20 on average and get by that way is good enough to win. And so you wonder about Allen's ceiling. And I guess the easy answer would be, well, we'll just wait and find out. I mean, Philadelphia should be a tougher test than Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing the same schedule as New England has been gifted so far. So you're just playing who's in front of us. But, you know, I just wonder if making the playoffs, that was kind of the goal, you know, could is it too much to ask to maybe get one playoff win, given the way the AFC East is kind of unfolding and the AFC in general? You kind of got a good run of it here. And I just wonder, Allen's upside, is he playing to his scouting report? So it's kind of all the same things we've talked about the whole time.
I've enjoyed listening to hear again, Brian. This is easy for me. Can this Bills team, with everything that you laid out that I agree with, win a playoff game? Can it happen? I would say yes, it can happen. The alternative is to assume now that it can't, and I just would not do that. I mean, I'm 7 weeks into a 17-week season. There'll be lots of changes. We'll see these other games, like you said. I mean, it's maybe not my favorite recipe, but the record is good, and the schedule is just what it is, like we all say. It's not their fault, and if they go to the playoffs, which they should, and play one of these teams, we can all name them, think of them, and be like a 3.5 or a 4-point underdog, maybe, or a 6-point underdog even, one of these places. Can they win that game? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it, you know, it depends on the matchup, you know, like, and I won't get like too far into it, but think about like Kansas City's had a couple of rough games, and that's been largely, well, I know the Indianapolis game. I don't know about the one after that.
Houston.
Houston, right. But Indianapolis got a lot of credit for playing a lot of man defense. And that's tough. If you can do that well, Kansas City is better at exploiting zone defense. The Bills play mostly zone. So can they do that? I don't know. That matchup might be tougher. Houston, also a pretty explosive, talented offense. Bills took them apart down there last year on defense. I mean, they had a terrible time, Houston did, moving the ball on the Bills. They ended up winning the game thanks to Nathan Peterman throwing a pick six late, but the defense did a good job. I might think that now it's only one game and it can be a trap, but I'd feel pretty good about that. Like, that matchup might be advantageous for how the Bills like to play and what they do well on defense, and you know, maybe you can go do that. And I would say that almost regardless of what the team's records are sitting here right now. Like, Houston could end up with a better year, and that might not make it likely that they would be the opponent, because Kansas City, if whoever is the four, the Bills are tracking to be the five, and they would go there. Anyway, the matchup is the thing.
It's Indianapolis over Houston now, with Indianapolis right. beating Houston. It's so far off. Baltimore is really interesting, too. All those teams are different. But I'm sitting here at the five. I'm just kind of waiting for it, you know?
And
waiting. It's like it's out there. I'm likely to be the five, and one of these teams is going to be the four. And, you know, if I don't screw it up, I'm going to be in that game.
And I know we will, you know, if the offense does not change its path, really. They just go through the year here, and you win your games. You win your 10 or your 11 games, and you're the four. But the offense is what it's been. We're going to get to the playoffs and assume that that's what we'll get. And that's reasonable enough to do, but I don't know. Like, it happens in the playoffs. I'm thinking of San Francisco hosting New Orleans, and it's a long time ago now. This is Alex Smith still. This is pre-Colin Kaepernick. And San Francisco just has this sort of dink and dunk, nickel and dime offense. Their defense is their thing. And they win a shootout against the Saints with Alex Smith piloting the way. It's like, who saw that coming?
The bounty game.
Yeah. Like, who? No, nobody saw that coming, but it happened. So, you know, you got to get there. You know, you got to get there and then, you know, put your team on the field and see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm also not, just quickly, I'm also not rewriting the formula for this team over the next few weeks here. Like, this is what I've got. So the last thing I want to do is rule out them finally getting that first playoff win in 24 years. Thanks again, Brian. Next up is Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Just kind of a quick, I guess, kind of a reply to the last caller, but mostly to the same. I've heard this kind of sentiment all over work, too, where, hey, can we win with Josh Allen and so on and so forth? I just wanted to say, just don't forget, he hasn't even played a full season yet, so I think it's kind of premature to start hashing on a guy who literally hasn't even played a full NFL season yet. In 2 years, by all means, start saying that. But right now, I mean, If this was still his whole rookie year, he never got hurt, he would probably be doing all the things you'd expect a rookie to do, right? I mean, he'd still be doing those, making those 50-50 balls that he's going to throw. And I don't know. It's very difficult to listen to people say, hey, are we going to win with this guy when he hasn't even played yet? I mean, he's barely played a season.
Fine. Thanks, Jim. Again, time will tell, you know? Like, fine. The point is fine. It's games like the ones the Bills have yet to play that will really matter in that context. You know, we went through the off season, and I feel like I heard constantly about how good Allen was in the last six games of last year. And I got tired of it because they were so meaningless. And you know, you're playing bad teams there and you're playing bad teams pretty much this year so far. It's just like, it's not meaningful yet. All you need to do is win those games. And you set yourself up for the games that will ultimately determine whether, you know, you can live like this. So that's it. Yeah, I don't want to do that now. I don't want to shut the door on that now. Same point. Thanks, Jim. Let's go to another Jim next on WGR. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? My point that I wanted to make was more about yesterday. After the game, when you guys were doing the post game, I kept hearing a lot of people say, talking about how come he's not doing the 300-yard game, and that point was probably brought up two or three times. But while I was mowing the grass listening to you guys, because that's tranquil for me, I kind of look at it and compare it to previous years. In the previous years, whether it was Tyrod or Trent Edwards, we were down big in games and not getting 300-yard games to make the comeback. Where this year, not only have we been in games within a few, you know, like a striking distance where you don't really need the 300-yard game, it's working that we haven't gotten the 300-yard game, but we don't, you know, because of the difference in our deficit, we haven't had to force it. Where yesterday's game, I thought he was pretty clean. I mean, he improved as the game went on. He had one incompletion in the second half. I want him to get the 300-yard game when we need the 300-yard game to get the win. I don't want him to get the 300-yard game when it's not necessary.
Well, that could be this week, you know. Thanks, Jim. That could be this week. Philly, if they can block the Bills, which I predict they will be able to do, you know, I predict they'll be able to keep their heads above water. Who knows? Last night they really couldn't.
Yep.
But if they can do that, then they'll probably throw it a lot and maybe score. The Bills have a good defense. We'll see. You know, it's a curiosity, that stat. I don't want to really end up sort of apologizing for the Bills because, like, Allen is missing these deep throws, and if he hits any of them, maybe he has that stat.
Right.
But it's the caller's right, too. The caller's right, too. They're not in a position where they have to throw it to catch up. I think Fitzpatrick is the Bills quarterback from the past that you really want for that point, because even like Tyrod's teams had sometimes good defenses. You know, he had a McDermott season, he had Rex, and they were not always way behind. But it is part of the conversation that those games where the Bills were losing badly, they could not get to that number.
Right. At some point here, I mean, there's you know, you got a lot. You're not even halfway yet. So you got a lot to go. And somewhere in here, maybe it'll be a game that really, really matters for the standings. Maybe it'll be the New England game later in December. Maybe it'll be Thanksgiving. I don't know, right? You're getting into a game where your defense, as good as it is one of the reasons why we are generally not crazy about building a team that is defense first, because the good teams are still going to get busy on you. It's what happens a lot in the league. So when you get into that game, if it's the Dallas game on Thanksgiving, I mean, that won't be for, you know, it's not a conference game, it's not a division game, but it'll be, you know, aesthetically, it'll be a game there'll be a lot of attention on. It's the closest as of now that they are to any kind of a primetime solo on the stage opportunity. And if Dallas does what Dallas did last night and gets out on you and is going to keep pouring it on, can I keep up? And like that's where even I would even say win or lose in a game like that, you want to see your quarterback do it, because it here it is. All right, it's 24-10 at halftime. I'm playing Dallas and I've already thrown for 160 yards, but we're down. There's a couple turnovers, whatever. Keep going. You got to keep going, and can you pull that game out? Can you make it close? Can you make it a game that Friday everybody's going, man, did you see that Bills game? Not just in Buffalo. I mean, around the country. That's – get me that, you know? I didn't really need it yesterday, because you know what? If he did it yesterday, you know what we'd be doing today? Same thing we did after he had a great game last year in the finale. Yeah, it's Miami. So, you know, we'd be choosing to dispose of it if we wanted to. And I bet a lot of people would, because it's Miami. So the opportunity will be there. And I don't think the story's written yet. We don't know what he's capable of that way.
I'm really excited for this game. Because Philadelphia has certain status, you know. They look bad right now, so they're not too good, if there even is such a thing. And it's a nice test. It's not a doormat, to say the least. I'm up for it. Thanks for the call, Jim. 803-0550, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
And I've gotten to know Fitz over the last couple of years and got to hang around and spend some time with him. And he's just a hats off guy. Off the field, he's fantastic, easy to talk to. He knows a lot about football. And going back to 2 years ago, I actually got the chance to meet him at the Masters before I got drafted. And he called it. He said, "You're going to Buffalo." Like, obviously he had been there before. He's like, "If you need any suggestions or advice or anything, please let me know." And that's just the type of guy he is. So for him to come out and play the way he did today, moving the ball, you know, making some loose plays and slinging the rock, it was cool to see, especially with the type of relationship that we have.
All right, so hang on. Did Josh Allen say that he met Ryan Fitzpatrick at the Masters before he was drafted, and that Fitzpatrick told him, "You're going to Buffalo," like that was his prediction?
Yeah.
So would Fitzpatrick have known something? Yes, right?
It's possible. It's possible. You know, people who know people, like, he wouldn't have had direct ties to, I mean, he was here. No, he was long gone. So, like, he doesn't know McDermott. He doesn't know Bean, like, from working with them.
But he knows a lot of people.
Sure,
who do.
Right. It's possible. Yeah, right. Exactly. So he could have known. Yeah.
Is that what you think? That's what I think now. Not that the Bills would not have known exactly how the draft would fall.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
That they liked him.
He might have known that they liked him. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, he also might have just been a thing to say. You know, like, "Yeah, I've been to Buffalo."
That's what I'm asking.
"You're going to Buffalo." But I would bet he had some clue.
Yes.
You're asking. My answer is I bet he had some clue about it. That at least he knew they liked him. And you could have, I mean, we gleaned that from the pre-draft, like the trip out there and like all the stuff. Like, we had reason to think that they liked him. But
right. And then you had Chris Mortensen say, "Terry Pegula saw him throw."
Right, right.
And it was like, okay,
right.
Let's get the check.
No, I wasn't this is happening. You know, I wasn't at the Masters, so I never got to tell.
You weren't there that year?
I wasn't there, and so I didn't get a chance to
you
tell.
You were at the Masters that year? I thought you were.
You're coming to Buffalo. Yeah.
Well, like, all the quarterbacks go to the Masters?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is that part of the pre-draft stuff? Yeah. You go to the Masters?
Is there a combine at the Masters? What's up with that?
It's just a cool thing to do. I don't know.
It sounds pretty great. People say it's great. All right, here's Nick with us. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. So yesterday we pre-gamed and tailgated at the game, and I finally got to see the one guy get sprayed with the mustard and ketchup.
Oh, good for you.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Bills Mafia is awesome. But I want to talk about a couple of things about the game. I'm really liking the play calling this year. That one flip play that Allen had to the wide receiver out of the backfield, and all game long they were kind of doing the fake run to McKenzie that teams have been having to watch all year long. I'm really liking these types of plays they've been doing. I had a couple other questions, too. I want to know what you guys thought about Miami kicking the field goal instead of going for it. I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet or not.
At what point?
It was a fourth down. Forget what quarter it was, but they were down near the red zone. Like,
is it the play where they fake the field goal?
Yes. Like, what did you think of?
Thank God they faked the field goal is what I thought. I could not believe they were going to kick there, and they ultimately didn't.
Yeah, you know, the Bills have gone for it a couple fourth downs this year instead of kicking the field goal. I'm curious why it seems to be the thing where teams always should be going for it now. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking 3 points. There's a few times
they
went for it. I've actually disagreed with.
They know the math now. Nick, that's the short answer. That's a short and easy answer. They know the math now, and they're finally paying attention to it. So the math, your win probability is just way in most of these situations is just higher trying to get the first down. If you miss, you put the other team at the 2-yard line. I mean, there are reasons why the math shows it, and that's why it's happening. You're right. Thanks for the call. You're right that it is happening more often. Fourth down attempts are up, and that includes the Bills, which I'm glad for. But why it's happening more often is that.
Yep.
It's that the math says you should do it, and teams are starting finally to pay attention.
Nobody really cares what I assume we think of Miami's decisions in the game, really. But if you're going to go for it, just go for it. Like, the fake field goal is just, like, to me, you're just asking for trouble. You're setting yourself up for this line up and run the ball. Whatever. You need a yard, you need half a foot, whatever. You don't need to snap it to this guy and ask him to get up and run it. Just hand it off, sneak it, whatever. Like, it's a lot of trouble to go through to go for it to do that, I think. It's just not really worth it.
Yeah, I would say that. Miami used a running back yesterday, Mark Walton. He was successful for them. He started the game. And that's with Kenyon Drake, you know him, and he's on the bench there and maybe gets traded. But Walton did a nice job for them. They ended up using the holder. The holder had to work for that yard, too.
He did, yeah.
We'll take a timeout and talk some more about the Bills' win yesterday. Lines open at 803-0550. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.